Welcome to today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks. I'm Grayson Willis, and today I'm joined by Pastor Tim McElvoy, who's the lead pastor of New Beginnings Church here in Harrisonburg. And the reason I have Pastor Tim in today is because at the time that we're doing this recording, Dad is out of town. Pastor Tim, how are you doing today? Good to have you.
Grayson, it's a pleasure to be here. I'm doing well. Thank you.
And Dad thought it would be good to have another local pastor in the Front Porch Talk studio just to share your testimony about what God's doing in your life and what God's done in your life. So maybe start off telling us where you're from and how you grew up, Pastor Tim.
Yeah, certainly. Well, I'm a Valley native, have been here most of my life, and most of my ministry has been here. Spent a little time away, but you know, the Valley's a great place. And it's a great place to work and to raise a family, and so I've been privileged to be here for a number of years. I've worked in a number of different churches and ministries, been privileged to do that, and really love what God is doing here in our community. Pastor Kerry has been such a great friend and so gracious, and we've enjoyed spending some time together, and some good things are happening here in our community, and it's a great place to be, and I believe God's going to do some significant things here in our community as he's making his will be made known, and it's a privilege to be a part of that. So thanks for what you do and these Front Porch Talks and the work in the ministry of the Harrisonburg First Church of the Nazarene.
Pastor Tim, you mentioned that you're a Valley boy and that you grew up here and have lived here most of your life. Talk about some of your earliest memories in the church or maybe when you came to know Christ.
My earliest memories were as a very young child. My home church is a little church out on Reservoir Street called Ray of Hope, and that's the church I grew up in. And one of my earliest memories was actually being there in the preschool room. It was a little room tucked away behind our church sanctuary. And there's a famous painting that I think a lot of people know by Warner Salmon, and it's called The Head of Christ. And it's just very genteel, wonderful expression of Christ. And I just remember seeing that picture, and something drew me to him. You know, my teacher told me, well, that's Jesus. And so a few years after that, when I turned 8, it was a warm summer day, July. And my pastor was always faithful to preach God's word and to provide an opportunity to respond after that. And he gave the altar call, and I had heard the altar call a number of times because that was his custom. But that day, it was for me, and the Lord captured me. And I think, like a lot of people, that walk from the back of the church to the altar seems like a long walk, and I remember as I'm taking that journey, feeling the love of God, feeling the conviction of my sins, and weeping. And of course, you know, you're a boy, you got your friends there, and you're concerned about how that looks. And my pastor was very loving. He looked at me and he said, "Those are tears of repentance." And after he prayed with me, they turned to tears of joy because of having Christ come into my life. You know, so for me, as an 8-year-old boy, I was so thankful that I was in church, that that was my experience. My mother was faithful to have me there week after week. And then, you know, as what happens with a lot of us, not feeling that I was living my life fully for Christ, and feeling some of the peer pressure, you know, even as an elementary school child, feeling that peer pressure. And the Lord began to continue to deal with me. And when I was 12, I had what I call my crisis experience. You know, my theology, there's a crisis experience, and that happened for me at the age of 12, where we had an event in our town where there was an explosion, and everybody wasn't sure what was going on, and I was convinced it was the end of the world, and that my salvation wasn't sure. And out of that, the Holy Spirit lovingly spoke to me, and I recommitted my life to Christ. And one of the things that I thought at the time was devastating, we moved. We moved from our little town, and my folks bought some property, and we're going to build a home on it. And I thought, hey, I can't leave all my friends behind. But that turned out to be the break that I needed. And so when I went to a new school, I was determined that as faithfully as I knew how, I was going to live my life for Christ and let my light shine. Didn't do it perfectly by any means, but I have just been blessed for the Lord to capture me at a young age. And at the age of 16, seems things came for me in intervals of four, I began to experience the call of God, and I felt I needed to respond to that. And my pastor at the time was really gracious with me and helped me process through that. And began when I graduated from high school preparing for ministry. And so those many years ago, I've been privileged to serve the Lord in a number of different ministries over the past 30 years.
Well, Pastor Tim, thank you for sharing that with us. And I know I grew up in a Christian home. As you mentioned, you grew up in a Christian home and going to church and coming to Christ at an early age. And I know you mentioned that you kind of recommitted yourself to the Lord as a teenager, and then even later in your teenage years felt a call to Christ. So maybe expand on that a little bit and how you got into the ministry.
Well, when I was 15, our church, a new pastor came in. He was just a little bit older than me. I was 15 and he was about 22. And so we became really fast friends. He really reached out to me and he was a great mentor. Loved the vitality that he had, his passion for Christ. He was tremendously gifted even at such a young age and had a great ministry gift and leadership abilities. And he just really helped me process that, what it meant, because he was called to serve God at a young age too. And so through a process of just chatting with him, recognized what the call of God was and that it was going to be in some type of, I felt at the time, some type of full-time service. And I realize there are a lot of different ways. Some folks feel called to missions. Some folks feel called to be bivocational. I just felt called to the church. I love the church with a big C, and then how it expresses itself in a lot of different ways. And just wanted to be part of the equipping, which I believe is one of the primary purposes of the church, the equipping of the body of Christ to do the work of the ministry, as it says in Ephesians chapter 4. And so I would define my gifts and more of teaching gifts. I love to teach. I love to see when people understand a concept of God's word and they begin to apply it to their lives and you begin to see the fruit of that. That's one of the most fulfilling things. And then ultimately that it drives them and compels them to share their faith in Christ, that the evangelism aspect of that, that we're always out there looking for the opportunity, being faithful before God to share our faith in a way that's winsome and a way that helps people understand that Jesus died for them, that he loves them, and that he's got a plan for their lives.
That's neat, Pastor Tim, how you had a mentor, a pastor who you could relate to and, like you said, was called at a young age also. So talk about maybe after you graduated high school, kind of where you went from there based on this relationship that you had formed with your pastor.
I took a year out of high school and just worked mainly because I needed to save up some money to go to the school that I felt called to go to. And that was good. It helped me kind of process what it was all about and learn some responsibility and things like that. Went to Bible college. And when I returned, my pastor offered me a job. At 22, I was in my first full-time ministry job. I got married about the same time. So a lot of things were happening there in a short amount of time. And he was really good about exposing me to a lot of different things, gave me opportunities. He never felt threatened by anything or the gifts that I had and really released me into that. Did that for a few years and through a series of circumstances and meeting some of his contacts and friends, just felt a call and had an opportunity to go to Ohio. And my wife and I did that. Our son was just born and we went to a little place called Belpre, Ohio. It's right on the Ohio River across from Parkersburg, West Virginia. And it was a dynamic church that we served there as part of the staff. It was a church planting church. A number of churches have been planted out of that. And one of the things that really excited me, and that's why I always love doing these kinds of things, Grayson, is we started a radio station when I was there. WMBP, Reaching the Valley with the Good News, I think was our slogan. And so I got to see all the ins and outs of just a little low-power wattage radio station. But I saw the impact of what happens when Christian radio is available in a community. And we play contemporary music. We had teaching programs. You know, many of our things were downloaded off of a satellite and rebroadcast. And then we did some live programming. And that always gave me a real heart to believe the impact of radio. It's a unique medium. You know, you can be doing a number of other things and you can listen to the radio and listen to what's happening there. And I know we're in a day of podcast and all the kinds of ways to get it. But I think radio is a tremendous tool still in these days and times. And appreciate what you and Pastor Kerry are doing here with the Front Porch Talks.
Well, thank you, Pastor Tim, and certainly that time there seems like it gave you an experience in different areas, and you were able to kind of use your skills that God had given you to help expand His kingdom, and I agree with you about radio, that it can have an impact on people's lives. I think we learned in school, as long as there's cars, there will be radios, and certainly I pray that God is able to use this for His glory. Talk a little bit about how you ended up back in the Valley after being away for a few years in Ohio.
Yeah, you know, when you obey the call of God and you say, Lord, I'm yours, and He takes you to places that are unknown, there still you have desires of your heart. And even though we left the Valley, you know, we still, our hearts were still here. Family here and the community here was always very meaningful to us. And so was begin discerning what it was the next thing that God wanted us to do. And it seemed like church planting was on the horizon. And we explored a couple of different ideas and in some other communities and ultimately felt called to come back to the Valley. And that's not saying we don't have a lot of great churches here, which we do. But just feeling a call to come back. So we did that, did church planting for a number of years. I admire men of God like your father that God calls to a place and there's longevity there. I think your dad's been here at the Nazarene Church for over 20 years, I think. And I always admire that type of longevity and the impact that it can have. My journey's been a little bit different. In that I've served in a number of different churches, most of them here in this community, and a number of different ministries. One of my best friends, my mentor, Steve Wingfield, I've had the privilege of working with him a couple of different times. The thing with Steve, I tell him this a lot of times, said when you know Steve Wingfield and you work for him, you never quit. You just take a break from time to time. And still do as much as I can with Steve in the context of the ministry God has me in now. So did church planting, did that for a few years. Steve invited me to come work with him. So I, again, a new facet of ministry that I was intrigued by, crusade evangelism. It seems that with me, Grayson, and I don't know why, maybe it's because you know, I have a short attention span or something like that, but I'm interested in a lot of different things. And so that was an opportunity to do crusade evangelism. And the way that we did it in those days, we would go into a community about the size of Harrisonburg, a little bigger, a little smaller, somewhere in there. And we would try to saturate that city or that region with the fires of evangelism, to get the local church interested in evangelism, and through a series of coming together around some crusade meetings. And we had a tent, and a couple of the crusades I did, we would go and put up this huge football field-sized tent. And just kind of like mingling the old-time tent revivals with the new technology of the day. So you under the tent, you've got all kinds of multimedia. You've got some great Christian artists that come to augment the message of the gospel that Steve would bring during the events of the week. And it was a great experience. It, as a pastor, I've always had a heart for evangelism, as most pastors do. To have the opportunity to kind of work in it directly was pretty significant. During my time with Steve Wingfield, we did an event here in Harrisonburg. So it was kind of neat to come back to my hometown and do something there. We called it Spring Fest. It was on the campus of James Madison University. And it was 3 days of just pretty amazing stuff. We had the Convocation Center full a couple of times and all kinds of events happening outside. And the whole idea was to bring the community together around the message of the cross and to encourage and inspire the local church community to be about the work of the gospel, because evangelism is our work. It's the Great Commission, going into all the world. And so sometimes your world is right outside your door. Sometimes it's on the foreign mission field. Sometimes it's across the state. And we want to be faithful to all that. So then got back into pastoring, and that's what I've been doing the last 7 years.
Pastor Tim, yeah, certainly God uses different people or calls different people to different things. Some people he might call to a long pastorate, like you said, my dad. In June, it'll be 24 years that he's been here at Harrisonburg First Church of the Nazarene. But certainly, he calls other people to do different things. But it's just whatever fits what God has with their strengths. So it sounds like he really used you there with Steve Wingfield and also with church planning before that. Talk about how you got back in to pastoring and how you ended up at New Beginnings Church.
Mainly the places that I have served, it's been through relationship, and that's always been so meaningful to me. I don't think there's any place that I've ever been called to serve that somehow there wasn't a connection there. So through associates, through friends, and similarly, my call to New Beginnings was a result of relationships, and primarily Steve Wingfield in that regard. Steve has been a member of New Beginnings for a long time, and they were in a place of needing a pastor, and you began to discern, is God speaking in this, and you want to be faithful to it. And after some time of my wife seeking that and going through the process of talking and interviewing all that, we discerned it was God's call. And like I said, that's been a little bit over 7 years ago.
Well, thank you for sharing that. Anything else that you would like to share about your testimony or how God's used you throughout your life?
Grayson, I would say that it's a humbling thing to be God's servant, and that, like all of us, I'm just seeking to be faithful. That is the criterion that God will use to measure all of us. You know, what are the words that we're seeking to hear when we stand before Christ? Well done, good and faithful servant. And for me, that's taken on a number of different roles and a number of different opportunities. I am about I'm about the kingdom and to see God's kingdom expanded. You know, Jesus in the Lord's Prayer said, one thing we're to pray is your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I really long to see that along with a lot of my friends. You know, we pray into that. We're believing for revival. I don't believe God has done his last great work. And if you study history here in America, you realize that we've had two great awakenings. And since the last one in the 1800s, there's been a pretty big gap. And a lot of us believe that it's time for another great awakening. And it's going to be birthed in prayer. I'm pretty convinced of that. It's going to look and feel like nothing that's man-made. It'll be a God-orchestrated event. And if God in his sovereignty wants to do that, and I want to be a part of it, I want to be a part of the work that God's in. And so one of the things that, even though I have my own particular field that I'm working in, I do appreciate and value the work that God is doing in other vineyards, like here at the Nazarene Church and many of the other churches and ministries around town. And I really appreciate another thing that you've done here is reaching out and becoming a networking of bringing in a lot of the nonprofit ministries here in the community to come together and provide some support and encouragement. We're really blessed, Grayson, in this town, in this region, to have a lot of significant ministries. You know, it's hard to be here, and if you have a need, that there's not some kind of a ministry that's focused on what it is that you need. And I think that's a pretty unique thing and something we ought to continue to thank God for and say, God, how do you want to expand that? So I want to see revival come. Like many of us, I want to be praying for that, because I know the impact of what the gospel did for me, and I know that's the answer for all of the world's ills.
Pastor Tim, thank you for sharing that. And certainly, I agree with you. Once we realize as churches and nonprofits that we're all on the same team, that we're all working for the same God and for his kingdom and for the glory of eternity. Pastor Tim, anything else that you would like to share? Maybe there's a scripture that the Lord's laid on your heart, or maybe some advice for anybody that might be listening that might feel a call to ministry. I know you talked about your call to ministry, so any advice you might have?
Well, I would just say be obedient. The call of God, and I think the call of God to ministry is a tremendous blessing. It comes with challenges like everything else does. You know, sometimes folks will say to me, and I don't know how it is that you do what you do, and I return that back to them, well, I don't know how it is that you do what you do apart from the grace of God. And there's something that I would say that is unique about the call of God to ministry. And it's something that goes beyond perhaps having a desire, having a heart for it. There has to be an anointing and an impartation for it. There's a scripture in Acts chapter 13 that describes the calling of Saul at the time, who would become the Apostle Paul and Barnabas. And the believers were gathered together at Antioch, which is one of the early centers of Christianity. And they were discerning, you know, what, Lord, what are you saying here? And the scripture says the Holy Spirit began to impress upon them and spoke, you know, whether it was audibly or not. They got the impression the Holy Spirit was in the middle of it and said, you know, separate for me Saul and Barnabas for the work that I've called them to do. And we see the results of that. I mean, three missionary journeys, the gospel going to all the known world at the time. And so there was this sense of Paul feeling the call and then an acknowledgement from the body of believers saying, yes, we agree. We see the call of God upon you. And so if you're experiencing the call of God, or you feel God's got something for you to do beyond maybe it is what you're doing. And here again, I believe that whatever it is that you're doing, if you're you know, driving a truck, or you're you know, working in a factory, you're teaching school, you're a policeman, all those things are ministry. I don't separate the sacred and the secular. I think they're integrated together. But if you're feeling that you know, there's a change coming, and we're finding out that a lot of people are experiencing a call to ministry later in life than earlier in life. They may have a career and they either found it fulfilling or maybe not as fulfilling as they once thought, and they began to feel these stirrings. And as you're discerning that, you need to do that in the context of a body of believers, you know, through a church or through some kind of a ministry that can give you guidance, that can hold you accountable, because ministry is an awesome responsibility, and you need to have people there that are walking with you in that. And for them to bear witness to that call, I don't believe God calls people in a vacuum. I don't believe that he does that apart from other relationships. And be obedient to that. Be obedient to the process. You know, a lot of times we'll read in Scripture, and let's take, for example, you know, Paul, and it just seems like, here's Paul, he's converted, and the next thing you know, he's out there and he's going on missionary journeys. No, there was a time of preparation, probably 14 years that happened there. Now, that's not saying that when you come to Christ, you can't be used by God, because I think sometimes once you've been a believer for a while, you lose some of the zeal. So we need that zeal of new believers, but to always be learning. I want to be a lifelong learner. You always have a notebook with me. Sitting with men like your dad, Pastor Kerry, you know, he's got so much wisdom, and he'll say something, I'll just write it down and go back and meditate on it, think about what it is that means to me. So I always want to be learning. And so if you're feeling a call to anything, whatever it is that you've devoted yourself to, if you're in a regular field of work, you know, what we call a secular field of work, you know, expand on that, be all that you can be in that, and allow God to use you. You know, you'll have places and people that you'll go and you'll influence that I'll never will. And that's unique to you. That's your mission field. That's your Jerusalem, your Judea, your Samaria, the uttermost parts of the world, as it says in Acts chapter 1. And once again, it's being faithful in that, but always have an awe of God. You know, never let these things become too familiar to you. Always hold his word in the highest regard. always be sensitive before the Holy Spirit. You know, I believe, Grayson, and I know you do as well, that God's always speaking. It's just I'm not always listening. And so I want to make sure that I'm tuned in to what he is saying. The book of Revelation, as it opens up the first few chapters there, the admonition from John is, you know, listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. And I always want to be in a posture of hearing and understanding. So the call of God is an awesome thing. It's a glorious burden, as some would say, because of the responsibility that goes with it. But whom God appoints, he anoints. And then it's our job to perpetuate that by releasing other people to the call that God has upon their life so that the kingdom of God can expand, so that the gospel can go forth, and that Jesus can be glorified.
Thank you, Pastor Tim, and I say amen to all of what you said, and that's a good word. I think no matter where you open the Bible up and start reading, you're going to find good truth there, and just seek God. And I think his call, like you were saying, looks different for different people, whether you're in a secular work or whether you're in ministry. You can minister wherever God has you and places you. And so thank you for joining me today on Front Porch Talks, and thank you for sharing your testimony as well as a little bit of the word that God's laid on your heart. Pastor Tim, I'm just going to close this program praying for you and praying for your family and praying for your church and the ministry that God has you in right now. Lord, I come before you today, and I just thank you for this time that me and Pastor Tim McElvoy have had to share your good news and the work that you've done in his life and how you've used his life to give you glory in many different areas, Lord, and many different ministries along the way. And I just pray for him and his wife and his kids, and that you would bless them in all that they are doing for you, Lord. And I just pray a blessing over his ministry right now and his church, New Beginnings, Lord. And I pray that they continue to reach lost souls for you, Lord, as I pray for our church here at Harrisonburg First Church of the Nazarene and all the churches here in the valley, Lord. As long as there's lost souls in this valley, our work is not complete, Lord. And I just thank you for the unity that you have brought amongst our churches in this community and are still doing a work there. And the unity that you've brought with the nonprofits in our area that Pastor Tim was talking about a little bit earlier in our broadcast. And I pray that you continue to do a work there, Lord, and continue to do a work as the nonprofits partner with the churches, and that we continue to reach our valley for you, Lord. And I pray for any other requests, any needs that Pastor Tim and his family or his church may have, Lord, that you would meet those needs according to your will, Lord. And I pray for those that are listening to this broadcast today, that they were touched, that something Pastor Tim shared, whether it be from your word or from his testimony, that it will have spoken to their heart, Lord. And whether that may have been them committing their life to you for the first time, or maybe them working out or answering a call that they might have on their life, Lord, whatever it may be, I pray that you used this time that we had to talk for your glory and for the glory of your kingdom. And I ask all this in your name. Amen. Pastor Tim, thank you for joining me today. It's been a pleasure to have you.
I agree. Thank you, Grayson. Appreciate it.
And I'm sure we'll have you back sometime in the future. I know Dad would love to talk with you as well. You've been listening to Front Porch Talks and Pastor Tim McElvoy from New Beginnings Church. Thank you for listening today. May God bless. Today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks is sponsored by Sunshine Ministries.